Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered. As just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK. The resources that we talk about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And speaking of truth, as Randy just did, when Nicolas Maduro succeeded Hugo Chavez as president, the carnage of Venezuela began in earnest. I have been following this with rapt interest on the news, because Venezuela was once the richest economy in all of South America, and now with frightening rapidity has become chaotic, impoverished. And if leaders like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, now known by the acronym AOC because she's become so popular, a media creation. But if anyone like AOC or anyone like her becomes president of the United States, we face global catastrophe. In the short span of time between Chavez and Maduro, in that short time, in their taking over Venezuela, the richest economy in South America through socialist revolution has become an utter chaotic region. And as Mary O'Grady, writing in the Wall Street Journal, explains, even basic commodities of life are now lacking. I was reading about this in the paper this morning, that since Venezuela's socialist revolution, they've had rising infant mortality, malnutrition, starvation. Running water, electricity, toilet paper are now luxuries. Venezuela suffers from hyperinflation, from disease, rampant crime, corruption. Millions of hungry, jobless Venezuelans have fled. Not since the fall of the Soviet Empire has a nation risen with such fury and determination to throw off the shackles of socialism. And not since then has Marxist misery been so clear for all the world to see. All we have to do is open our eyes and look. Venezuelans are experiencing what millions of Russians, Chinese, Cubans, and countless others have suffered. They're destitute. They're angry. The experiment has failed, and they want it to end. And now, in the irony of ironies, we are now courting that very thing. How ironic that some American politicians, Bernie Sanders, one of them, wants socialism for the U.S. just as the tide of history is going the other way. All one need do is look back at history, not ancient history, but history in the foreseeable past. What's happening now in Venezuela took place in Cambodia. It once was a first world country, In fact, it was a model scouted out by Lee Kuan Yew when he wanted to create Singapore. Singapore, you might remember, before 1965, was just a sandbar on the tip of Malaysia. Well, what happened? What happened is the roles have been reversed. Singapore is now the oasis of peace and prosperity that Cambodia once championed. And Cambodia, well, it has most definitely fallen on hard times. Cortex seemingly knows as little about history and economics as she does about climate change. Perhaps it would do her well to study the carnage invoked by Chairman Mao or Pol Pot. Pot seeking to impose communist socialism murdered millions. Many of them were leaders and intellectuals. It wasn't all that long ago that I walked the streets of Cambodia, littered with garbage. I witnessed firsthand the complete anarchy that prevails in a country that attempts to emulate the communist social experiment. To be ignorant of the devastating consequences of socialism, or for that matter, the basic premise of Christian capitalism, is a prescription for disaster. And by the way, this is one of the reasons that I have been promoting two books all this month, The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines. No, smart machines cannot duplicate body-soul unities. They can't duplicate humanity. Jay Richards notes that in brilliant fashion. This book is a little out of the normal range of what I would normally offer, but the reason I offered it is to show human exceptionalism, humans created as icons of God. And then there's Money, Greed, and God, the book by Jay Richards on why capitalism is the solution and not the problem. I love Jay Richards because he is a master at exploding myths, like the Nirvana myth, which contrasts capitalism with an unrealizable ideal rather than with its live alternatives, or the piety myth, which focuses on our good intentions rather than on the unintended consequences of our actions. The zero-sum game myth. This is believing that that trade requires a winner and a loser. The materialist myth. Believing that wealth isn't created, it's simply transferred, which is now all the rage in Washington. The greed myth, believing that the essence of capitalism is greed. The usury myth, believing that working with money is inherently immoral, or that changing interest on money is always exploitive. The artistry myth, confusing aesthetic judgments with economic arguments. And the myths go on and on. The freeze frame myth is another one that sticks in my mind, believing that things always stay the same. For example, assuming that population trends will continue indefinitely, or treating a current natural resource as if it will always be needed. All of these are myths, and myths that we need to explode. Because if we don't, we will not realize the very things that Christians have an advantage, because their worldview corresponds to reality, the other does not. And that's particularly true with respect to what Ronald Reagan once said, that socialism only works in heaven where they don't need it, and in hell where they already have it. Communism failed because it treated human beings and human society like wet clay, like a blank page that the most beautiful poems can be written on. That is simply mythology. And for the quote of the day, Jay Richards demonstrates that in stirring fashion, he wrote, "Instead of starting with man as he really is, communists thought to create their ideal man in an ideal society, which for them meant one in which perfect equality reigned. To have any chance of success, they had to abolish private property. Why? Because private property is the most obvious sign of inequality. That doesn't mean no one controls that property. It means the state must confiscate and control whatever property is in private hands. So the state simply must coerce and kill, since most people don't willingly hand over their property to aggressors." The socialists tried to draw heaven down to earth. They brought hell up instead. We are coming to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be right back.
In his new book, The Human Advantage, Jay Richards reveals what is really happening in the American economy. By dispelling myths about capitalism, greed, and upward mobility, Dr. Richards reveals how to rebuild a culture of virtue by capitalizing on the skills that are most uniquely human: creativity, resilience, and empathy for the needs of others. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment from Hank Hanegraaff. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. Jay Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. Jay Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Thank you.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right to our phone callers. First up is George in Orlando, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. You know, that second segment comes up so quick, sometimes I'm not anticipating it. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. And this is the reason I called, but I do appreciate you bringing up the plight of Venezuelans. I'm Cuban, and we wholeheartedly empathize with the Venezuelan people. In fact, one of my cousins was assassinated a few years ago because he was the head of a political movement that was really catching on, and they just really needed to get rid of him. And my father and my uncle were both in prison and scheduled to be shot, and literally by a miracle, they were spared. However, my question to you is something that's perplexed me for a little bit is surrounding Moses. Two questions. One is I kind of lost or it was a little bit unclear to me as to why he was not allowed to cross over into the land of Canaan, the promised land. And the other was Michael had, I believe it was the archangel Michael, had to intervene to keep Satan from claiming Moses' body for the murder or the alleged murder that he committed. And I've always been a little bit unclear as to what would Satan want with Moses' body.
Yeah, good questions. In fact, for those who are in the legacy reading plan, they're reading about all of this both in Numbers as well as in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 32, you actually have an explanation given by Moses who points out that it is because both Moses and Aaron broke faith with God in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh. And I always think this is kind of ironic because it's called the Desert of Zin. Oftentimes when I read that, I read sin. They did not there uphold the holiness of God, which is the ultimate sin. So you have the narrative given in Numbers. I think it's Numbers chapter 20. The explanation comes in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In terms of fighting over the body of Moses, I think this is very, very interesting as well. Because what you see there is the import of people who are God's people defended by holy angels. And this is also, therefore, a warning to believers concerning the vehement accusations against God's enemies. So let God judge. You're not to be the judge. The archangel Michael showed this kind of restraint. And, of course, Jude codifies that in the book of Jude. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Lee in Boston, Massachusetts. Lee is listening on the web.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of a cold, so forgive my scratchy throat. Yes, I'm calling because I have a person in my life who is starting to listen to the teachings of Jordan Maxwell on YouTube, and I had never heard of this gentleman before, but he has many hours of videos on YouTube recorded, and he talks about that the Bible is an archetypical story. He calls it certainly the greatest story ever told, but he shows through his videos that the Bible and Jesus' death and resurrection and his virgin birth and everything is all explained by the way the stars go around the earth with the seasons and all the different zodiac signs. I guess he calls it astrotheology. And he's really convincing this person in my life. And he also claims that Jesus was the actual Jesus was a myth, and that, you know, David was a myth, and that even ancient Israel really didn't exist the way we thought it did. And I think it's crazy because we have so much archaeological, historical, literary evidence to the contrary, but he just brushes it all away with all these arguments. And certainly I think of scripture in the New Testament that tells us, you know, we're going to hear deceivers and people that give us false gospels. But what I'm asking you, Hank, is if you could give me some concise ways to refute this, and also some resources that I could turn to. I searched your website carefully to get some information because I really want to give him an answer for the hope I have.
Yeah, the first resource that I would mention to you is a book that I wrote called Has God Spoken? In that book, I give the kind of evidence that you already alluded to. For example, the myth that David was a petty Hilltop chieftain, or that he didn't exist at all. I explode that myth because that myth itself has been exploded in secular studies, historical and archaeological. Information has proven that to be simply false. The same thing is true with Jesus Christ. I mean, you don't have to know about Jesus Christ simply from the Bible. You can know about Jesus Christ through the greatest historians of antiquity, like Tacitus or Josephus. And there you have a great contrast, because on the one hand, you have a Roman historian. On the other hand, you have a Jewish historian who is writing to please the Romans. But they and many others demonstrate the irrevocable fact that Jesus Christ is a real character. The other thing is that he was not just a character in a great story, but he is God in human flesh. And of course, demonstrated that through the immutable fact of resurrection. And one of the things I point out is that the resurrection is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. Jesus did suffer fatal torment. The evidence for that is overwhelming, conceded now in the secular community as well as in the spiritual community, as has always been. He resurrected because the tomb was empty. And as I've pointed out many times, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. And then we also see that Christ gave many convincing proofs that he was indeed alive. And those proofs were so convincing that the disciples were willing to die for them. I've often noted that it is conceivable that millions will die for what they believe to be true, but millions will not die for what they know to be a lie. And yet, when the sword of the pagan was drawn, the disciples didn't blanch. They were willing to face the tyrant's steel, the tyrant's gory mail, the fires of 1,000 deaths, because they knew that what they were propagating and teaching was absolutely true. They touched and handled, they saw the resurrected Christ. So the evidence I have laid out, and I've done, I think, a very, very comprehensive job of dealing with these ideas that are so popular today, that Christianity was influenced by ancient pagan mystery religions and the like, and show that the similarities are quite concocted.
Okay. That's what I think, but thank you for your time, and I'll look into that book.
Yeah, it's Has God Spoken, and it is available to those that support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You know, the mystery religions reduced reality to a personal experience of enlightenment. They had these secret ceremonies, and those devotees would experience an esoteric transformation of consciousness that would lead them to believe that they were entering into a higher realm of reality. Well, followers of Christ were quite different. They were committed to essential Christian doctrine. Devotees of the mysteries worked themselves into altered states of consciousness. They were committed to the notion that experience is a better teacher than words. In fact, the mystery religions are so named because they directly involve secret esoteric practices and initiation rites. So far from being rooted in history and evidence, the mysteries reveled in hype and emotionalism. How different Christianity. You know, the mystery religions were syncretistic. Adherents worshiped various pagan deities. They frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions. Not Christians, converts to Christ, placed their faith solely in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, I've written about this in a book called Has God Spoken? Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 275-4265. And thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people all over the globe. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org. Again, thanks for standing with me shoulder to shoulder.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Smart machines are reshaping our world and our future. But these machines will never be a substitute for what Dr. J. Richards calls the human advantage. Yet it is critical for the next generation of Christians to understand that in the future, more and more jobs will be done by smart machines, and we must plan accordingly. The new book by Dr. J. Richards, The Human Advantage, will help you understand the increasing threat posed by artificial intelligence and show why the marvelous creation of the human mind and body can never be matched by any machine. To receive your copy of The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.